And as we read through the book of Proverbs this month especially, we will note that Solomon, the writer of Proverbs, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, says how we live matters. And it's easy to think about the big decisions, and we believe that we need wisdom and ask God's advice on the major decisions of life. But it's really in the day-to-day choices of life that wisdom shows itself out. And you see up here on the platform some of the various topics that Solomon talks about and that God gives us insight on wisdom. And although Proverbs are kind of bookends, they are short sayings that pack a lot of truth into them, witty sayings, common sayings, that when you begin to observe their truth, you realize that there's a whole lot more to them. And up here we have books that are written from God's word about certain topics that are in there. Each of us needs to have the wisdom of Proverbs and the wisdom of God embedded into our hearts and mind, so that in the course of life, we just don't make a few wise, big decisions, but we become people who live wisely. And not only live wisely when we plan out something, but even when we're caught off guard, that we respond in a wise and a godly way. Proverbs are principles, they're not promises. They tell you how life is supposed to work, how to live life skillfully from God's point of view. Wisdom, as we read in Proverbs chapter 1, is not in some remote, far away, hidden, difficult, obscure place that only a few people are able to find. In fact, the promise of Scripture is, as it says in James, that if anyone lacks wisdom, what should we do? We ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and without reproach. But don't ask not believing that you're going to get that from God. Wisdom also is not only in a remote place. In fact, it tells us at Proverbs chapter 1 that wisdom stands on a busy street corner and shouts out its message. And the sad truth is that most people are so preoccupied, so busy with their life, that they don't hear what is happening. Wisdom is more than knowledge. Wisdom is the application of what we know to be true, taking God's truth and applying it to every day. Wisdom is application. Jesus said it's the difference between a wise person and a foolish person. The one who hears the words of mine, Jesus said, and puts them into practice is wise. The one who hears those same words and does not put them into practice is the foolish man. Now, if you read the book of Proverbs, you will note probably that the first 9 chapters contrast the way of a life of wisdom and foolishness. And then in chapter 10, you get into the wealth of the proverbial wisdom. Throughout, wisdom is personified as a woman of virtue that has faithfulness and brings love and security and significance, contentment, and joy into life. But the way of the fool was personified as a immoral, promiscuous woman who seduces, entices, and draws one's desires away from commitment, that end up destroying the family, makeup, reputations, health, brings financial ruin. The way of foolishness seduces, and most people follow it. The way of wisdom tells it like it is. And because it tells us the way that life works, we think we have, I'm talking about people in general, think we have a better way. The Proverbs does say, there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death. Robert Frost wrote a poem that started out saying, two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. Two words diverged on a wood, and I took the one less traveled, and that has made all the difference. I want to suggest to you that the way of wisdom is the road less traveled. But really, it's what that poem was named. It wasn't named the road less traveled. It was the path not taken. And what I want to suggest to us today, let's not decry the fact that the road of wisdom is less traveled than the road of foolishness. But let's make sure we take the path of wisdom. Take the path of wisdom, and the scripture tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I think that's key. You can love Jesus. You can have your sins forgiven and live foolishly. Loving Jesus and having the forgiveness of sins is not an antidote against making foolish decisions. You hear me? So let's not assume that just because we love Jesus and we call ourselves Christians that we are living wisely. And the scriptures lay out for us that there are really only two paths to take in life. And the first one, we've already talked about it, but it is the path of foolishness. And Proverbs 1 talks about this. Listen to what it says. Come and listen to my counsel, and I'll share my heart with you and make you wise. I called to you so often, but you wouldn't come. I reached out to you, but you paid no attention. You ignored my advice and rejected the correction I offered. So I will laugh when you are in trouble. I will mock when disaster overtakes you, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster engulfs like a cyclone, and anguish and distress overwhelm you. When they cry for help, I will not answer. Though they anxiously search for me, they will not find me, for they hated knowledge. This is wisdom's way of saying, I told you so. For they hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord. They rejected my advice, and they paid no attention when I corrected them. Therefore, they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way, choking on their own schemes. For the simpletons turn away from me to death. Fools are destroyed by their own complacency. We are told, and we're memorizing, the beginning of knowledge begins with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. This is a theme throughout the Bible. For the Jews that were coming out of Egypt, God said to them, I set before you life and death, blessings and cursing. Jesus, when he began his ministry, said, there is a narrow way that leads to life, and there is a broad way that leads to death. He says there is a way to be wise that to put into practice, and there is a way to be a fool. Jesus said, he is the way, the truth, and the life. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. On Mount Carmel, the prophet of God said, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If God is God, serve him. If he's not, go serve the Baals. But notice, there is a choice that you and I have to make. And the foolish life, as you read the book of Proverbs, there are a lot of things that play into that, and there's different types of fools. There's actually five different types of fools that are translated through the book of Proverbs. We may delve into that in weeks ahead. But by and large, this life is marked by pride, by arrogance, by haughtiness, by this idea that I'm going to do it my way. One of the ways in which pride shows itself is by saying, I can do it on my own. I don't really need God, or I only need him when I really am down and out. But I really can make it through life just fine without God. Another way that pride shows itself is in a more subtle way. And that is when we say, I'm nobody. I can't do this. Low self-esteem is a part of pride, because what is happening when we live and exhibit low self-esteem is we're thinking so much of ourselves that we don't think that we can do things. It is a subtle way of pride. And Proverbs brings this out, as we'll see in the weeks ahead. It's the path of foolishness, the one that we need to get away from. Charles Spurgeon said, wisdom is the right use of knowledge. To know is not to be wise. Many men know a great deal and are all the greater fools for it. There is no fool so great a fool as a knowing fool. But to know how to use knowledge is to have wisdom. Which leads us to the other path, and the path that we want to take, the one that we want to apply in our daily life, the path of wisdom. Notice how Proverbs begin. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them to understand the insights of the wise. Would you underline verse 3? Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right path. And you study the Proverbs and hear God's heart of what he says about life, you will become wiser yet. Let's go on. Let those who understand receive guidance by exploring the meaning in these proverbs and parables and the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. The life that is on the path of wisdom also has a mark in his their life. And this one is marked by humility, saying, I need God. Even after I know a lot, I need God. I need God in my life. And these paths are shown in throughout Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, I love the imagery here where it says, the path of the righteous, the ones that are on the road to wisdom, is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until full day. You'll have more understanding about your life and God's purposes in it, and it'll get brighter and brighter as you go along. But the way of the wicked is darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Here's going to be a key as you study Proverbs. Pride is the lock on the human heart, and humility is the key. We are called in Scripture to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Whatever we do to give it wholeheartedly for it. And the book of Proverbs gives us wisdom of how to break the lock of pride in our own human heart through humility. Eugene Peterson wrote, our lives are not puzzles to be figured out. Rather, we come to God who knows us and reveals to us the truth of our lives. The fundamental mistake is to begin with ourselves and not God. God is the center from which all life develops. Now, as we go through and we start looking at some application, because the point of Proverbs is you've got to apply. You need to observe, and then you need to apply the truth into your life. I want us to break down that word proverb. It begins with the prefix pro, which means forth. So there's going to be action coming out of this. It means to go forth. And verb is a part of speech that expresses action or being. And so proverbs are passages of Scripture that are filled with verbs that we are to act upon. And as you look at the Scriptures, even that I have here in the sermon notes, notice how much it's saying, you've got to do something here. You've got to act upon it. You've got to be like the wise man that Jesus said that hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Now, let's look at some action things here then as we approach the book of Proverbs. First thing I would suggest is that Solomon reminds us over and over, you've got to enroll in the school of wisdom. You've got to pursue it. Foolishness will entice you. It will seduce you. It will put billboards up in your life. It'll try to catch your attention and your affections and try to draw you away. But wisdom, you've got to tune out a whole lot of that foolishness and really turn your ear and tune your ears and listen and grab hold of it, because wisdom can be drowned out in the day-to-day routine of life. Listen to what I say, the Scripture says. Treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek for them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord. If the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, here now he's telling us what the fear of the Lord looks like. You listen, you treasure, you tune, you concentrate, you cry out, you ask, and you search. And he goes on at the end of verse 5, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He is a shield to those who walk with integrity. He guards the paths of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, and you will find the right way to go. For wisdom, would you underline this? For wisdom will enter into your heart. Wisdom is not discovered. It is revealed to us from God. And wisdom will enter our heart, and knowledge will fill you with joy. Seems like we just talked about joy quite a bit the last 5 weeks. And wise choices will watch over you, and understanding will keep you safe. To acquire knowledge, one has to study, but to acquire wisdom, one has to observe and then to begin to apply. And wisdom will show itself in relationships. We'll talk more about that later. But it will show, just as the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and the second is like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Wise people have strong relationships. They know and love people because they have a right relationship with God, and God begins to let them love others as he has loved them. The scripture tells us in Proverbs 23:23 to buy truth and not sell it. Get wisdom, instruction, and understanding. What is it saying there? It's saying pay the price that wisdom requires. Pay the price. Do what it takes. I want to encourage you again, a chapter a day. What you're going to do is actually, you could say a chapter a day helps keeps foolishness away. How about that? Okay? Read a chapter. Here's what it's going to happen is, even before you read, when you begin to tell yourself, I'm going to do this, you all already are beginning to turn your ear to say, God, I want to hear what you have to say. I want you to speak into my life about that. Get into the Word, and the Word of God will get into you. It is living and active. God watches over his Word to perform it. And just as he created the world, the universe, by his Word, God created, as we read in chapter 8 today, if you read that, God created the world through wisdom. Not only do we need to enroll in the School of Wisdom, look at the notes that we have on Sunday mornings, underline them, tuck things away, say, I want to study this a little bit further, get involved in life connection and talk and hear what other people have to say, invest in other people's journey. It's all part of enrolling in God's School of Wisdom. But we also have to cultivate a heart of wisdom. We need to encourage, to foster, to nurture, to develop a heart of wisdom, because there are enticements that take our heart away from wisdom. I'm sure that we all have experiences that if we opened up for dialogue, it says, tell me some people in your life that you say they made a really foolish choice. The thing about foolishness is we can see it happen in other people's lives quicker than we can see it happening in our own. Sometimes I found myself, I didn't see them making that kind of decision. I can't believe they did that to their family, or they did that with their finances and things. But the subtleties of the way of foolishness haven't been figured out by man. And it's why we have to continue to bend our ear and to bow our heart to God. Look what it says about cultivating a heart of wisdom. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with God and people, and you'll earn a good reputation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, here it is again, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Proverbs 24:15 says, in the same way that wisdom is sweet to your soul, if you find it, you will have a bright future, and your heart and your hopes will not be cut short. When we talk about this idea of cultivating a heart of wisdom, just as many of the Proverbs look at physical life and make spiritual application to them. And God created this physical world to give us hints of what's happening in the spiritual life. And one of the ways that you can view Proverbs is by looking that as we cultivate a heart of wisdom, that just as our physical heart has four chambers, and Krista Bryant could tell us what all those chambers do and things. Most of us just know when something's maybe not right, it shows an effect in our life. And a problem in one chamber can cause problem for the entire body. Here's what I'm going to suggest for us to do as we read the Proverbs, how to get our heart right, how God reveals to us what is in our heart, and how to make sense of our relationship with God and our circumstances with people. We have a relationship with God, which is the vertical, and we want to love him with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But he says, when you get your relationship right with me, there's also a horizontal element in how you live and how you relate to people and to life and to circumstances. And when the vertical intersects with the horizontal, there are four chambers that are created. And we're going to talk about those. And I'm just going to share those with you now. The first one is our will. The chamber of our will. Throughout here, Solomon is talking to his children, mainly to his sons, and he's saying things like, choose my instruction rather than silver, and knowledge rather than good, than pure gold. Make the choice in your life, for wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with it. Every action is preceded in our life by a choice, and we must surrender our will to God. When we surrender our will to God, we begin to make some wise choices. And the funny thing about will is sometimes it's like flipping the switch. You know, I enjoyed playing sports and things. You have schemes and things. And sometimes, for example, you're playing basketball. And, you know, your coach can be hollering from the sidelines. And people aren't doing what they're supposed to. They're not executing the play the way it was drawn up. And there's a timeout that's called. And sometimes you see a jersey that is grabbed and they say, take the ball to the hole. Just take the ball to the hole. When you get it in the post position, you take a drop step and you go up strong. And if they foul you, you'll get to shoot your free throws. Almost forgot what they were called. But maybe you'll make a point. Just take the ball to the hole. Don't think about it. Don't overthink it. Just take it. And so you go in there and all of a sudden, they throw it in there, drop step, go up strong. Basket counts or foul, or even if they don't make it, say yes. What happened? They had had a lot of days of training, a lot of things of here's how the game, nothing, they learned nothing new. All they did was flip the switch and said, I'm going to do what the coach says. Listen, there's some things in your life that you don't, most of us are already educated beyond our level of obedience. There's certain things that all we need to do is flip the switch and to say, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. And it's getting the will. Now, that's not all there is, there because these things are interconnected. But the scripture talks a lot about a life of wisdom has a will that is surrendered to God. That says, God, I can't, but you can. And if I think I can, I won't, because I want to do it with your power and with your leading, with your guiding. I'm going to do that in my life. The second chamber that Scripture talks a lot in the book of Proverbs is that is the intellect or the mind or the thoughts. As a person thinks within himself, so he is. Notice what it says here. The heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking. The mouth of the wicked overflow with evil words. If you listen to constructive criticism, you will be at home among the wise. If you reject discipline, you will only harm yourself. But if you listen to correction, you will grow in understanding. Fear of the Lord teaches wisdom. Humility precedes honor. Proverbs 4:26 says, give careful thought to the paths for your feet, and be steadfast in all of your ways. Proverbs 14:15, the naive believes everything, but the sensible man considers his steps. The truth is, we are the sum total of our thoughts. As a man thinks within himself, so he is. And whether you are filled with confidence or fear, depends on the kind of thoughts that you occupy your mind with on a regular basis. That's why in Paul and Philippians chapter 4, talked about as we celebrate God's life in us, that whatever is pure, whatever is noble, whatever is of good report, think about these things. The way you think creates attitudes. The way you think shapes your emotions. The way you think governs your behavior. The way you think even affects your immune system and your vulnerability to illness. Everything about you flows out of the way that you think. And the way that you think determines how you feel. And the way you feel determines how you act. It's funny how our mind is able to get us, if we think wrongly, to feel wrongly and to act wrongly. Story I heard of a family that had a little kindergarten boy. We'll call him Tommy. And the family realized that they were going to have another baby, and so they talked about how they were going to tell him. And so they tried to prepare their son for the new addition, and so they said, Tommy, we're going to have a new baby. And eventually they told him he was going to have a baby brother, and we're going to make this room for it, and we're just trying to do everything right to prepare him. And Tommy got very excited. He went and he told his kindergarten teacher, you know, I'm going to have a baby brother, and I'm going to be a good example, and I'm going to be able to teach him how to, you know, how to play with various toys. And he was so excited. And every day he'd come and tell his teacher about the baby boy. Well, one day at home, Mom brought Tommy over and say, hey, Mom, come here, Tommy. You can feel the baby. And he put his hand on her stomach, and sure enough, the baby kicked and moved a little bit. And she goes, isn't that exciting? His eyes got real big. About 2 weeks later, his kindergarten teacher asked for a meeting with the parents because he had stopped talking in class and things. They brought Tommy in. They said, we're concerned. He seems to be just concerned, and we're seeing some behavior out of him we haven't seen before. And she says, and Tommy, I don't hear you talking about your baby brother anymore. And he, all of a sudden, he burst out crying. He goes, I think Mommy ate him. Now, his whole future changed in how he viewed having a baby brother because he had a misconception. When we read God's word, there are some things that we have misconceptions about. And we need to allow God to come into our heart. And you know what the truth is? When we get with the vertical, he begins to talk to us about the horizontal relationships in our life. And there's maybe some people you have misconceptions about. And you have, sometimes you've gotten well-meaning teaching biblically, but you begin to believe things that aren't necessarily true. And so let's open up our hearts and say, God, fill my mind with your thoughts. Fill my mind with your wisdom. And the more we grow in our understanding of God, the more we're able to live with peace and joy and understanding. Keep your heart hungry, your mind hungry, to grow and to learn more about God. Never stop learning, because your mind, your thoughts, your intellect is a driving course of your life. Another chamber is our spirit. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, and he searches the innermost part of his being. It's through the Spirit that we pray to God. The human spirit can endure a sick body, but who can bear a crushed spirit? We're told in Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. And through the book of Proverbs, it talks about watching over your heart by guarding your spirit in your life. And then it speaks of our emotion or our feelings. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom and who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Proverbs talks about anger, talks about greed, it talks about about pleasure. Here are some of the scriptures. Proverbs 14:9. People with understanding control their anger. A hot temper shows great foolishness. A gentle answer deflects wrath, but harsh words make tempers flare. Better a patient person than a warrior. What I want us to see here is, if you take the line vertically to say, God, I want your wisdom. And on the back of your sheet, you have these lines for you. The vertical relationship is fearing the Lord. It is the beginning of wisdom. And then if you make another line across there and you break this into the chambers of the heart, of our heart, you have what really is the seat of all wisdom. You have the sign of the cross, if you will. And here we have how God explains to us. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:24, that Jesus is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Let's go through these chambers here and show you how Jesus showed us how wisdom was operated in his life. In the garden, we know that he prayed a prayer. And he prayed, not my will, but your will be done. When you read Jesus' life and his ministry, he would say things like, this is the reason that I came. This is what I'm looking for. He put his face resolutely toward Jerusalem, knowing what has happened. He submitted his will to the Father. When you begin to look at his mind, his intellect, not only did he know great things about God and about people, but he would fix his mind toward the things of God. He would take control. There were people that would try to trick him with questions, and he would come and he would use wisely with his intellect to say, with Satan, what was he doing in the wilderness? Has God said such and such and such of this? He goes, yes, but it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. He was using his mind to think rightly and not allowing someone to use even scripture to distort what God was doing in his life. On the cross, as he was taking my sin and your sin in his body on the cross, he prayed to God, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. See, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's a life of humility. And in his emotions, while people were hurling insults, when they walked by and were wagging their heads and saying, you saved others, you cannot save himself, as he saw his mother that was there in grief, he said these words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Peter tells us that while he was being reviled, he did not revile in return, but instead he kept entrusting himself to his faithful Creator. If we're going to cultivate a heart of wisdom, we're going to cultivate the life of Christ within us. Because when you get one of these areas out of balance in our life, it affects all the others. One of them, that we have to bring balance. In fact, when you look where the vertical and the horizontal have, that's where wisdom has. It's where the righteousness of God meets us in our day-to-day activities and choices and thinking and emotions of life. Let's go on. The last thing, spend time with people who practice wisdom. It reminds us over and over again in the book of Proverbs, walk with the wise and become wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Listen to counsel and accept discipline so that you may be wise the rest of your days. It's one of the reasons God created the church. Not only is the church the pillar and support of truth, not only does it have the commission to go and bring people into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to hear the message of Christ, but God gives you people that are tuned in, that are submitting their will and their mind and their spirit and their emotions to it. Are they perfect? Absolutely not. But you know, you can learn from other people's mistakes. You can learn from other people's walks, and you can observe. One of the things that wise people do is they look at other people who seem to have... Here's something I'm amazed at. Well, I'm going to start stepping on some toes, perhaps. But if you're having financial problems, why do you go and ask advice for someone that doesn't honor God with their resources? It just doesn't make sense. Don't take... parenting advice from people who don't raise their kids in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Don't ask your co-workers who don't love Jesus and don't follow Christ what you should do in a particular situation when someone harms you. Instead, walk with the wise. There's a reason why life happens the way that it does. Proverbs tells us that. And if you want to be wise, you walk with the wise. Now, does that mean that we're all smart and everybody out there is... No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying here's the key, humility. And you've got to put yourself in people's life as a sign that you are humble to God, and you're going to let other people speak into your life as well. Because the more you know, the more you realize how much you don't know. And so... let's spend time with people who practice wisdom. Spend time with God's word. Spend time with God's people. and enjoy the great truths that God is going to teach us in the weeks ahead as you read the Bible and as we explore together God's wisdom. Let's pray. Father, we come to you right now. And Christ himself humbled himself. He became obedient to the very point of death on the cross. That although he was there when this world was created, and although he is the wisdom of God, he set that aside and became a man. And he was tempted in all ways that we are, and yet without sin. Jesus showed us what it looks like to align our will to the plan and the meaning, the purpose of God himself. How to think rightly. How to speak to you and connect with you in our spirit and allow you to speak into our life back. And how to control our emotions. Your word says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, goodness, and self-control. Lord, foolish people who don't apply your truth don't live in the relationships that way. So, Father, really our heart is, as we humble before you, is to make us like Christ. And that's something we can't do for ourselves. And so, Lord, once again, in reverence and in humility, we put the key in the lock of our heart and say, God, teach me. Teach me your way, O Lord. And we thank you that we're able to do that because of what Christ did for us on the cross. You made us a body, Lord. It's why you gave us communion, to remember what you did for us, and you made the vertical relationship right. And then the love of Christ helps us to forgive, to get rid of bitterness and anger and wrath. So, Father, everything that we have is a result of what Christ has done for us. So today, Lord, we remember. We remember our need for you, our need for wisdom, and the need for grace. Because every one of us here today has made some foolish decisions. And, Lord, I, for one, am very thankful for your grace that is able to forgive and to give us the right today to choose the path that is less traveled, the path of wisdom. In Christ's name we thank you. Amen. Now, as communion is distributed, as the those that are coming forward, we just ask that you would wait until everyone is served and we'll part. To begin looking that spiritually there are four chambers in our heart as well that have repeated themes throughout the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs tells us how just and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Underline this: let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. So here's part of the promise, that if you are wise and you have chosen the wise